Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are the one who strengthens us, who redeems us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I know I'm dating myself with this. In 1984, the movie Places in the Heart hit the big screen. It's a movie which Sally Field, the lead actress, won her second Academy Award, or her Gold Oscar. But you know, to my mind, it was one of the most theological movies ever filmed. The Reverend Eric Schaefer, a Lutheran pastor, describes the movie. It's set in Texas during the 1930s. It is a film about the survival in very difficult circumstances. Sally Field plays a poor widow with small children, I believe it's two of them, and she takes in boarders to help make ends meet on her dirt poor farm. Her two boarders are a blind man, played by John Malkovich, and an African American man, played by Danny Glover. Glover is also her farmhand and farm manager and faces overt racism from Field's white racist neighbors. Places in the Heart is a story of triumph in the face of overwhelming odds. And it had the most amazing final scene set in a church during Holy Communion. As communion is being distributed, the camera is slowly panning the congregation. And there, pictured all around Sally Field's character, are all the people who are and have been important in her life, those both living and those dead. It's a portrait of the heavenly banquet. The communion of saints, if ever there was one. And what I found most striking about that movie and that final scene was that Sally Field's husband had been a police officer and had been gunned down at the beginning of the movie on his way to answer a call. And that communion panning shows her husband, and it also shows the young man who gunned him down. Celebrating communion together with everyone else. It has been said that Sunday morning is the most segregated time in America. People of different races going to churches made up predominantly of the same race as they are. We have Korean churches, Hispanic churches, black churches within several miles of our church. I understand there's a language barrier. The Sabbath Korean Church, which is the one that now meets in the old Advent Lutheran Church building, the entire service is in Korean. We would be very hard-pressed to feel worship like we could worship there because of the language barrier. But I can't help but wonder how much this might be contributing to the rise of racism again in our country today. When we don't worship together, isn't it easy to see people of other races in a more negative light? Because we don't know them as brothers and sisters. We don't know that they have the same hopes and dreams that we do. We don't know that they look for God's kingdom of love on earth just as much as we do. Reverend Schaefer writes about our story from the Gospel of Luke. It's typical of Luke's Gospel. Luke often pictures Jesus eating and drinking, from calling Matthew, the hated tax collector, to be his disciple over supper, through his Last Supper, Passover meal, with his disciples. The Jesus of Luke likes to eat and drink. Luke's Jesus also always has a very open table for dining. Welcome at Jesus' table is for everyone. Rich, poor, men, women, all ages, races, ethnicities, religions, and sexual orientations. The table of Christ is for all people. After I printed out my sermon yesterday, I was on Facebook for a little bit, and I came across this piece. The Bible is clear. Moabites are bad. They were not to be allowed to dwell among God's people. Deuteronomy 23. But then comes the story of Ruth, the Moabite, which challenges the prejudice against the Moabites. The Bible is clear. The people from Uz are evil. Jeremiah 25. But then comes the story of Job, a man from Uz who was the most blameless man on earth. The Bible is clear. No foreigners or eunuchs allowed, Deuteronomy 23. But then comes the story of an African eunuch welcomed into the church in Acts chapter 8. The Bible is clear. God's people hate Samaritans. But then Jesus tells a story that shows not all Samaritans were bad. The story may begin with prejudice, discrimination, and animosity, but the Spirit moves God's people towards openness, welcome, inclusion, acceptance, and affirmation. That's by Bixby Knowles of the happygivers.com website. In 2006, some of you will remember, I went to Nairobi, Kenya, as a part of our Presbytery's Kenyan partnership. And there were some who, in our Presbytery, who did not like the partnership because they did not believe that a third world church like the Kenyan East African Presbyterian Church had anything to teach a first world church in America. How wrong they were. They taught me of a church that welcomes even tall white guys like me amongst all. I found out what it's like to be on the other side when I went to Kenya. They taught me, as I watched children, not just church children, but I think community children, being fed by the people of the church after worship. They taught me a worship that is joyful and uplifting. So when I sit down to communion, I think of those people, as well as all of us and others. And I'm reminded of that every time I pass this bowl that was given to our church by our sister church, the Kamai Church in Nairobi. They gave it to me to bring back to our church. We need to be aware that as we take communion today and every time we celebrate communion, we're not the only ones at the table. That table is much bigger than that. Much, much bigger. The table of Christ is a table that has seats for people of every time, of every race, of every ethnicity, of every religion, at every sexual orientation. And I wonder, do you see them at that table when you take communion? They're there. And I hope they're visible to you. Amen.